Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Tuesday, May the 19th, 2026. 17 minutes past the hour. Phone lines are open here on this busy news morning, Tuesday. A little rainy outside, but we'll take it. 740-383-9944. If you'd like to call in, feel free. 740-383-9944. Always good to hear from somebody in the listening audience. And just kind of to run down the morning's news, we learned yesterday that now three 15-year-olds have been arrested in last week's shooting here in Marion, in which a 16-year-old was shot, although the 16-year-old might have started the shooting. I guess the courts will have to clear all that up. But the story is that in broad daylight on a Wednesday here in Marion, you can have three 15-year-olds with guns and a 16-year-old with a gun who just apparently start firing on each other because they have some kind of beef with each other. So there's that. And we've got a gentleman, 54 years old, who was killed last evening on a motorcycle when a 16-year-old did not yield to him. He was not wearing a helmet. That's not a good situation, but there's that. Then we learned last night at City Council, the committee meetings, that the mayor is proposing to raise bus fares effective July the 1st. The adult fare goes from $1.25 to $2. Seniors go from 60 cents to $1. Children 6 to 17 go from 60 cents to $1. Monthly passes $30 to $42. Senior disabled 15 to 21. And children 15 to 21. Also, and that's just for the standard fare. There's some more stuff going on there. We also learned that curbside recycling will be eliminated come July the 1st. Now, you will be able to take your trash, hopefully, recycling, to the city garage 11 to 7 Monday through Friday and maybe one Saturday a month. I think they're all still working that out. But the end of curbside recycling will happen on July 1st as well. And like I was saying in the first hour, I think one of the problems with curbside recycling elimination is that people see it as regressive. People see it as losing a service altogether, not paying more for a service. And I think they also see it as losing something that they feel is a good thing. I don't think they see the other issues quite like that. And I think that's why more people get upset about curbside recycling than anything else. And I think also the way this was dropped on us was through a council meeting last night with no idea that it would be on the agenda or no idea that it would even be talked about. So we haven't really seen the fallout from this yet. Now, I don't know if that will happen at next week's city council meeting, which will be on Tuesday, but we'll find out. Certainly the comments online since we posted the story have not been very favorable. Now, if anybody has anything to say, give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Certainly an interesting time to be in the news, to be sure. Now, yesterday, not to keep bringing this up, but in case you were not listening during the first hour, we went into a little bit of Marion history yesterday. Well, let's take the phone call, then we'll come back to this whole thing momentarily. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. I just wanted to call in and chime in on this rules and decorum ordinance that councilperson Danny Clark has deemed necessary. You guys, you and Naomi, were talking earlier about council president, you know, should run the council, and she needs, and it's, you know, who, what she deems appropriate or what the public deems appropriate. I think what's important to remember here is what the Constitution deems appropriate. And this has been approached many times in the Supreme Court in Ohio and the United States. And the public is permitted to get up with passion, speak to their public servants, and express their likes, dislikes, and issues with how they are serving the public. You know, I think it's important for Danny Clark to remember that not only is he a member of council, but he doesn't represent just one ward. He's an at-large council person, so he's representing everybody. So his job as a public servant is to listen to the public of this whole city, the entire city, Danny, and you're supposed to represent the entire city. So that's what's important. You know, it's just this whole thing, you know, we need to be able to talk and speak and spitball and get understanding. So, you know, and just like on this thing with the recycling, I keep saying this, and I'm not for or against Mayor Collins. Leaders lead. Leaders stand up, and I think he made a choice that was a leadership choice, but you don't release this the way he keeps releasing this. Speak to your public. Stand up and look to the constituents and look them in the eye and tell them, here's what I'm doing. Here's what we need to do, and it's unpopular or it is popular or whatever it is, but own it, stand on it, and be a leader. This wishy-washy shit that, you know, putting shit out on press releases and, you know, not releasing it on the agenda and everything, it's exactly what it looks like. It's shady, and it's not leadership material. So, good luck with that.
Well, no, I think one of the problems is, and here's, again, it's all situational in both of these situations, because as I said, you know, I've been going to council for a while now, and I remember Dave Edwards, Phil Reed, Scott Gray, Todd Schneider, they were all presidents of council, Kate Fisher was in there for a while, finishing out Scott Gray's term. So there are five different presidents of council over the past, you know, 15, 20 years. And if some, like last night, the back and forth between Kim and Mark Russell, if that had happened under any of those presidents, the president would have intervened and they would have said, let Mr. Russell talk and then you can speak. And that's what would have happened. And somewhere along, and people have been thrown out of meetings by the president. Absolutely. City council members have been thrown out of meetings. People from the public have been thrown out of meetings for saying things. For just using profanity, people have been thrown out of meetings. So it has happened in the past. It has happened in Marion and Ohio, and it's happened from presidents of council. Now, what has happened over the last 2 years, I don't think one person has ever been thrown out of a meeting. I don't think anybody has ever interjected and said, let this person talk. If they have, it's been on a rare occasion. So I think council has felt that it's getting out of hand. And in some cases, it probably is more out of hand than it was in the past. But that's because nobody's leading the meeting. And so now they go to put these rules in that I don't even think they understand at this point, evidenced by last night's committee meeting. So, you know, I think that's the problem. If from the get-go, if the president of council had been controlling the meetings like the last five presidents had, I don't think this would have ever been an issue.
I agree 100%. And it just goes back to what I said in the beginning. You know, Mary Stoneburner, or whoever is in the position of president of council, you ran on the position that you're going to lead. Okay, you got the opportunity, now lead. And when you do lead, it's based on right or wrong. It's not based on friends. It's not based on party. It's based on fairness and right and wrong. And for me, when I see leadership gabbling and making decisions as they keep looking to the box for approval, am I saying this right? Am I doing this? That's not leading. You are playing to the mayor, or you are playing to an administration, or your party. Lead. Look people in the eye. Look the public in the eye and lead and run that council.
Well, and on the curbside recycling, it's the same thing. It's just a timing issue again, where I think they have just screwed up the timing. Because, you know, I'm not going to say that Mayor Collins was dishonest. He stood up last night and said he made the decision yesterday during his senior council meeting to eliminate curbside recycling. Okay, maybe a bad idea to announce that when it's not on the agenda, when nobody knows it's coming. Now, I guess people can speak about it next week, which I assume they probably will, but
it's a done deal. You get to speak after the fact. So obviously he didn't want to hear any more of the public's opinion.
Well, I think he's going to make this decision unilaterally anyway. I don't think he's asking for council's approval on this. But I would guess that a lot more people would have shown up had they known it was on the agenda.
Exactly, and that's what, you know what, if it looks like a dog and works like a dog, it's a dog.
Right, and I also think, just to make a point, and then I want you to come in here, I think one of the other points is, again, the mayor can make this decision unilaterally, but people just like to be heard, and at the end, if he wants to eliminate it, he does have the power to do that. But, you know, to put it on the agenda as a conversation or a forum or whatever, like he's doing with transit, you know, I think that might have been a better tack to go with the curbside recycling. Then he could hear from the public. He could make his decision, and that was that. What's happening now, he's telling you what his decision is. Now, will it appear on the agenda next week? It doesn't have to, but maybe it will. I don't know. I guess we'll find out.
Well, I guess, in my opinion, people are starting to wake up. People are starting to realize that they have to get involved in politics, whether it be nationally or locally or both. I think people are understanding that they can't just be stagnant, and they have to get out and get their voice out, and hopefully leadership is starting to understand, or will understand, that they serve at the favor of the people. And, you know, the people need to make their voices heard and speak it loud.
They certainly do. Hey, thanks for calling in.
Have a wonderful day.
All right, again, the phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If the phone line's ringing busy, it just means we're on the line with somebody else. So keep on trying to call in. I think these are all important issues for the people of Marion. Certainly the issues involving crime events that we've talked about here this morning, as well as recycling and the bus fares going up. You know, people don't seem to have as big a problem with the bus fares going up. Maybe that's one of those things people just chalk up to prices going up as times go up. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
It's quit raining, so you can work in your garden when you get home.
You know, yesterday I thought for sure that it was going to be a day without rain, and then 7 o'clock came in, and here it came.
Oh, well, you got to wash this stuff off somehow.
You do.
Anyway, I just have a comment about the teen shooting.
Oh, yes.
You know, when you see kids now with their little tablets in front of them playing these games, and they're shooting down people and so on and so forth, and the more you shoot down, you're going to win the game, okay? Well, and so they have that mindset from infants almost now. I see more and more kids and parents, well, then the parents don't have to talk to the kids. But anyway, do you think that's any related with this supposedly all these kids with these mental problems? Who would have thought kids would be out in the street shooting other kids? You know, something, the sad part of it is they don't pop back up because they're ready to be shot again tomorrow.
Well, I certainly think you might be stumbling onto something with the video games, but I'd hate to lay it at video games, because what is so disturbing to me about this particular story, and heaven knows over the tenure of this program, we've had a lot of shootings, and some of them have involved kids. I mean, this is not an uncommon thing, but the way this story sounds, and I am not a police officer, but it sounds like last Wednesday, you had a 16-year-old in a car, and you had three 15-year-olds who all had guns, but it doesn't...
school, Scott.
Well, but here's the thing. They should be. But here's the thing. The fact is, the 15-year-olds were not looking for the 16-year-old. The 16-year-old was not looking for the 15-year-olds. They just happened to be in the same place at the same time. And because I don't like that person, the 16-year-old, or I don't know who fired first. Nobody's told us that yet. But somebody just pulls out their gun that they just happened to have that day and starts firing, and either the 15 or the 16-year-old just happens to have a gun, and they start firing broad daylight in Marion, Ohio, on what was a beautiful day weather-wise, daylight, and hit three homes. I mean...
That's right, Scott, but you know tomorrow they can come out again and play the cops and robbers and shoot them people again. That's the way the games are.
Yeah, but isn't this really the fear of where we're headed? Because if that can happen, then let's say you're outside and you're dusting off your driveway and a kid throws something in your yard, a cup or something, and you yell at him to get the cup, well, they just pull the gun out, shoot you. That they just happen to have, and apparently they can do that at 15 years old. That 15-year-olds are carrying guns.
Yeah, but when they were 18 months old, they could shoot them, and then tomorrow they could shoot them again.
I just find that story horribly frightening for people.
And besides that, where was Mom and Dad, and where were they last night? And instead of teaching birth control, we need to teach what you are going to put in as a parent once that baby's here. And well, everybody just thinks they're sweet little innocent. The first thing you know, they turn into teenagers. What am I going to do with them? And so then they blame it on a mental problem.
Well, and in the midst of this, and I'm not saying this has anything to do with the police officers, but, you know, they're down eight people. Not that they could have stopped this, but, you know, how well are they able to respond to calls like this? How well... you know, it really is getting to be a rough time. Now, I'm not saying other communities aren't facing this, but this is a scary thing when a 15-year-old can get a gun before they can drive. They can get their hands on a gun to go walking through the neighborhood and have no fear of firing that gun. And how...
Now, Scott, I don't know what your mom would have taught you. Obviously, somebody taught you something because you're still here and you haven't shot anybody. But did anyone ever tell you, if the cops is after you, the last thing you want to do is run?
Right.
They're going to get you. So they put that little fear in you. But then by the same token, if you have a problem, then you need to go to the cops. Now, the cops is almost a fun, you know, oh, well, remember that one game we played? Shot him, but they're back next day. So it's all our fault because we've let these kids raise themselves.
Well, it's interesting. One of our listeners out there this morning is saying, how'd they get the guns to begin with? Are their parents' guardians being charged with criminal neglect? Well, they should be.
Even at that, you can't bring a dead one back. It's a little late then.
Well, thank God. I don't think he died.
But we have had him.
We absolutely have. But, you know, I just am shocked. And maybe I shouldn't be. But 15, I mean, this is possibly a freshman in high school. I mean, this is somebody right out of middle school. And they're walking the streets with guns in the middle of the day. I mean, I just, and have no problem firing them. You know, people used to get caught with guns. I mean, that's illegal to begin with. But now they have no problem just whipping them out and firing.
Well, I don't have to worry about that because we're going to play the game again tomorrow.
Well, apparently, they're good shots because one of them hit the 16-year-old who was in the car. I mean, it is just unbelievable to think that that can happen.
I tell you, I blame a whole bunch of this onto the parents because everybody's working and making money. Everybody's going to go have fun. Everybody's going to do this. Instead, you know, what kids all winter are bounced from here to here. And instead of the parents coming home over summer and spending the time in the yard with their kids, we go to Cedar Point, we go to Kings Island, we take them swimming, we do this. We don't play and be with them all summer. So nobody wants, they just keep passing these kids. They pass them off to the teacher, they pass them off to school, and then they pass them off to this one and think they're being good parents.
Hey,
so much. That's the end of my story.
No, wait, hey.
I'm sticking to it.
I got to ask you a question, though, because you said you've been in Marion a while. Do you remember the John Long situation?
How old do you think I am for crying out loud, Scott? I vaguely, because I was working in Marion at that time, and I was just young, so who cares? You know, that's the adult's problem.
Well, here, you know, the thing of it is, I mean, do you, I guess it's just the brevity of the conversation we had yesterday. I mean, do you think anything can be learned at this point by bringing this story up again and trying to find out what happened?
What difference does it make? The poor guy, if he was so scared, depressed, whatever, that his counsel apparently put him through, and I'm sure he was like, Collins, he's doing what he thinks is best. And he was a little on the shaky ground anyway. I guess we ought to feel sorry for him instead of criticizing him and let a sleeping dog lie.
Well, you know, I found that very interesting because yesterday, if you listened to the show, I was making the point that just because he killed himself does not mean he was guilty of whatever they were accusing him of, and people seemed to believe that wasn't true, and almost immediately somebody who was around and semi-involved in that situation sent me the message and doesn't even want to talk about it, but wanted to say, you know, he had mental health issues, and he was being treated for them. So,
one person's opinion, do we know that to be a fact?
From this person, I'm guessing that they said they were a friend of his as well as knew something about the investigation.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to take their word.
But, what I mean, somebody that kills himself has been driven to him, and it's a wonder there isn't a whole lot more of those than there are.
That's, well, but do you think he had to be guilty of whatever he was accused of to do that?
No.
Neither
I don't think he, and besides that, what supposedly did he do? He have an affair? Did he steal money from the city? What did he do that they were accusing him of?
Well, that's what I don't like about that story. No matter what, again, people don't like it, but having an affair is not illegal. It's not a crime. But a lot of people would be in prison if that were true. But the point is that if he did that, if he had an affair, which was one of the rumors, if he stole money, which was one of the rumors, if those things had happened, why didn't city council just say it? Why did they go to the mayor? Why did they feed it to the Marion Star? Why were they going to have this great press conference? Why wouldn't you say it? Why wouldn't you just say, We have reason to believe that the police chief is stealing money. We have reason to believe the police chief has had an affair. Well, first of all, the affair is not a crime. So, and apparently, Mayor Quaintance, if anybody remembers him, apparently right in this building is where the meeting happened. He said he didn't believe the accusations from city council. Now, people want to say they were of the same party. I don't know that they were of the same party, but would you defend somebody if you thought they were guilty?
Well, but you know, some, there's a lot of that went on then, but there's a lot more goes on now.
And how about the fact that it here. I didn't even think about it. We're sitting in the City Hall of 1974.
Dig around those closets. See what you can find, Scott.
Well, somebody around here, I hate to make any kind of joke of this, but it's been 52 years, so hopefully wherever John Long ended up, he's happy today. But, you know, there's somebody in our studio who always says that this place is haunted because they'll hear a noise or something. And I thought, oh, good Lord. Now he's going to be for sure the place is haunted.
Well, my walls crack and creep, too, and I've been here 30 years, and I'm only the second or third people that's lived in this house, but I think I probably got carpenter ants.
I told him, I said, listen, don't worry about John Long and when this was City Hall. This was a hospital. I'm sure a lot more people died in here when this was a hospital.
Well, that's even getting scarier, Scott.
I know. Well, we're going to have ghosts. We're going to have ghosts everywhere.
Have a good one and so much, but I think the video games are the ruination of our country.
It's certainly a good point. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 42 minutes past the hour on this rainy Tuesday morning. Again, always appreciate the feedback on the telephone, and the phone lines are open this morning, 740-383-9944. But I do think that John Long story is interesting, and at this point, I don't see us going any further on it, but I do think it was interesting that I got the message yesterday that from somebody who was pretty close to that matter at the time, back in 1974, who say they were a friend of his, say he was suffering with mental health issues, and so on and so forth. So I guess that adds another layer to that particular situation. 740-383-9944. I don't think people really realize how strong those mental health issues can render people defenseless. And, you know, being a police chief, the things you must see, awful. Well, again, curbside recycling at this point going away, allegedly, on July the 1st, I guess. Go ahead, Colin.
Hey, Scott, how you doing?
Oh, it's just a peachy day, another day of Candyland and chutes and ladders.
I'm still setting my record here, trying to call you from the furthest places out.
Oh, where are you at?
Tucson, Arizona.
Tucson, Arizona. So we're playing in Tucson this morning.
There you are, yep.
So what's going on in Tucson?
I'm on the set of Antiques Roadshow.
Really?
Really.
Now, do you have something for the roadshow?
I did. I bought something.
Oh, what'd you buy?
I have a painting that used to hang in one of the most famous bankers in the world, and see what it's worth.
Really? Now, do you want to say which banker it was?
Milburn Drysdale.
Milburn. So what are you hoping? Because we want to get the answer to what they appraise it as.
$1,000 would be nice.
Now, what do you think you might get?
$500.
Well, hey, that's not bad. Why do you think this is worth something?
Well, it's a little piece of art from the early 60s, and I figured it might be worth something.
Now, Arizona, what time is it out there? 6:45?
Actually, Arizona is on a crazy time here. It's 6:45.
Yeah, 6:45. So you're already on the set of Antiques Roadshow at 6:45 a.m.
That's right. They want to get it done before the heat hit.
My gosh, they must start early out there.
Yes.
So.
Just a comment on the long.
Oh, go ahead. Do you remember it?
No, I have no idea. I know nothing about it. But apparently, he committed suicide because he wanted to put an end to all the talk and discussion.
Hey, what?
Here you are, 52 light years later, still talking about it.
Hey, what? You blinked at you. Say that again?
He committed suicide because he wanted to put it into all the talk and the discussion about whatever happened.
Oh, he just wanted to go away.
And here you are, 52 later, still talking about it.
Well, we're sitting in his office, possibly.
Yeah, and so I think the moral of the story is suicide is never the answer.
No.
Suicide did not stop the situation at all.
No, but do you think the extra cherry that we've learned this morning that he was apparently being treated allegedly for mental health issues, I mean, I think that's... In 1974, that was seen as a taboo in and of itself.
I mean, it adds to the drama and the situation there. I mean, I think anybody who's considering considering suicide must have some mental issues as well. So. Well, anyway, that's my two cents worth.
Well, hey, thank you for calling in from Tucson. Now, you're going to have to call us tomorrow and tell us what this thing went for, Milburn Drysdale.
Milburn Drysdale, yeah, we'll see. I'm sure it'll go for nothing.
And hey, if you get $1 million, we get 10%?
I'll buy you some donuts on the next camp holiday.
Thanks, Bob.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye-bye. All right, Bob calling in, our pizza man calling in from Tucson, Arizona this morning. The Antiques Roadshow. Set of the Antiques Roadshow. How about that? Got a painting of Milburn Drysdale that he's hoping that will go for $1,000. Maybe he'll get 500. Maybe he'll get 1,000,000. Maybe we'll never hear from Bob again. He'll become a millionaire and go off down the road with his painting of Milburn Drysdale out there in Tucson, Arizona. So, see, that's why this show is international. Tucson, Arizona, we're on this morning. 6:45. God, they start that Antiques Roadshow early. 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open here this morning. 47 minutes past the hour. Boy, we've got a lot on the old hopper this morning. We've got the bus fares going up July the 1st, tentatively. We've got the end of curbside recycling on July the 1st, tentatively. Let's see, we've got discussions of decorum in city council, decorum rules being put in. We've got 15-year-olds shooting at 16-year-olds in Marion during the middle of the day last Wednesday. We've got a gentleman tragically being killed yesterday, 54 years old, not wearing a helmet on his motorcycle when a 16-year-old doesn't yield to him. You know, it's a rough time around here right now. Phone lines are open. If you've been thinking about weighing in this morning, now would be the time. 740-383-9944, 49 minutes past the hour. And again, just on the John Long situation, as I said yesterday, former police chief, I just don't know that we'll ever know exactly what happened there. People can say they think they know what happened, but who would know what was going through that man's head when he did what he did? And it's sad, I mean, that he felt that was the only way out, but apparently there were some mental health issues there, and maybe we should be paying more attention to that. Maybe that is the discussion of this 52 years later, should be the discussion. If you have mental health issues, go see somebody. I'm sure John Long did not think that his life was going to end that way. He was 3 months away from retirement. And look what happened. So, you know, I mean, maybe it's a good lesson. If you have mental health issues, go get help. Don't try to take it all on yourself. All right, phone lines again are open this morning. If you've been thinking about weighing in, we'd love to hear from you. We got about 10 minutes left in the program. Does anybody remember that situation? We've got a couple, well, I think we've had two people who've called in who recall that. You would have to be somewhat up in years at this point to remember that particular situation, being that it happened in 1974. So that's 52 years ago in and of itself that it happened, so you'd almost have to be 70s or 80s to remember it happening. You would have been a very young person when that happened. You know, it's been a while. I don't know if there are any police officers left who would have worked with him or known him. All the people who I knew him were mostly people in government, people who own businesses, things of that nature. 740-383-9944. Oh, did want to mention the finale of the Bravo competition. The big kid singing competition will happen on Thursday night over at Bucci's here in Marion on Center Street, 7 to 9 p.m. And apparently it's going to be a great big show. Matt and I attended last week. It was a very entertaining show. A lot of great talent there. So the big wrap-up to the Bravo competition this coming Thursday, 7 to 9 p.m., over at Bucci's. What a great way to kick off your Memorial Day weekend. Oh, I've got to tell you this story. And again, the phone lines are open if anybody wants to weigh in. 740-383-9944. 52 minutes past the hour here on this Thursday morning. And we thank Bob for calling in from Tucson, Arizona. Okay. Yesterday, as many of you know, it was a nice day. So, getting close to Memorial Day, a lot of people like to visit the cemeteries. So, I got a call yesterday from a friend of mine who said he was going to go do something, and he wanted me to ride along with him. And I said, sure, I'll do that. So, I'm out with him, and he says, you know, I want to swing by two cemeteries. Do you mind if we go to the cemeteries? And I said, no, that's fine. So, one of the cemeteries we went to was Pleasant Hill Cemetery, which is on Pleasant Hill Road off of Holland Road. It's a very small cemetery out in the middle of nowhere, but people are still being buried there. A lot of people from the Big Island area. So we go out to Pleasant Hill Cemetery, and it's just him and I. There is no office out there. I don't even know how you get a place out there. But you go out there on Pleasant Hill Road. Beautiful day, beautiful weather, sunny. This is yesterday afternoon before the rain came in. So we go out there, and we find the tombstone, because, and this is somebody we had never been to the tombstone to visit. We've never been to the cemetery to visit this person. So we go out there, we pull in Pleasant Hill Cemetery, and we get out. So we're standing there, and we had just gotten out. We were probably there 5 minutes, not very long. And he was talking to the person who is buried there. And he was saying something to the effect of, I don't want to say what he said, but he basically was questioning something about that person who was dead. Let's put it that way. So anyway, all of a sudden, now again, I'm not a believer in ghosts or anything like that, and you can just say this is coincidence, but it's just us standing there, and all of a sudden, as soon as he was saying this kind of disagreement with this person, and this person could be disagreeable, let me tell you, all of a sudden, this huge gust of wind came by, blew the cap, now not a loose hat, a cap, blew the cap completely off his head and blew it probably 20 feet. A cap. It just kept going on the ground. Blew it clear off his head 20 feet. So he's got to go almost out by the road to get this, his cap, which was blown right off his head. And as soon as he came back, he said, I bet that was the person who was buried there. And you know what I thought? Yeah. I said to him, I said, has your cap ever blown off like that before? And he said, no. And he's been outside. I thought that was the weirdest circumstance you could be under. It was so strange. First time he'd ever been to visit that person. That wind came by just as he was being a little disagreeable with the person who was there. So I guess maybe you can have a retort even after you've went on to your reward. I thought it was weird. But in any event, you never know. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? We've got about 5 minutes left here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz. You know, I know a lot of people believe in ghosts and things of that nature. You know, who knows what happens when we depart? We've had many discussions about that on this show. But when that hat blew off that head, I thought, woo, apparently that person's a little angry, a little touchy. 740-383-9944. Does anybody got anything to say here before we wrap up this this show on this very eventful Tuesday morning. May the 19th, 2026, coming up on 56 and a half minutes past the hour. I find stories like that a little... I'm not sure if I don't know what they are. I'm not sure if they're unsettling or if they're settling. You know, if it settles you to know that maybe that person's still around, or if it's unsettling to know that that person may still be around. I don't know. It's all very peculiar. You know what I think the peculiar thought is that somebody's hanging around the cemetery after they die. I don't know if that's the best thought in the world, but if that's where we end up, okay. You know, worst places to be, I guess. Pick a nice cemetery. 740-383-9944, coming up on Memorial Day. You know, that's another question. Do people still visit and put flowers out on the tombstones? I saw a lot of them out yesterday. I saw a lot of flags in a lot of cemeteries. But I don't know if people decorate like they used to. I'm kind of thinking that's becoming a bygone thing for most people. I'm not sure that they go out and decorate the cemeteries anymore. That's unfortunate, but I'll tell you, a lot of these cemeteries have very strict rules. You know, they have this whole idea that you can't put artificial flowers out. You know, I rally against that rule. I wish all of these caretakers of these cemeteries and these boards who run these cemeteries would allow you to put artificial flowers out for Memorial Day. You know, nobody is going to go out there and water those flowers every day. Maybe some people will, I guess, but it'd be a very small number, I think. So allow people to put fake flowers out there. You can take them off after Memorial Day, but allow for the fake flowers during the Memorial Day celebrations. I think that's too bad. If you've been wanting to get in today, we're approaching the final 2 minutes here. 2 minute warning. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, again, if you're just tuning in, the topics today, bus fare increase, Marion Area Transit set for July the 1st. The end of curbside recycling set for July the 1st here in Marion. Two more 15-year-olds arrested last week. That makes three in a shooting here in Marion with a 16-year-old. We had a 54-year-old gentleman killed in a motorcycle accident with no helmet yesterday. 16-year-old did not yield to him. And I think that's about the rundown of stories today. Well, I hope you have a good day, and I thank everybody who called in today. I always appreciate the participation in the program. That's why we do this, so you can call in and have your say. That's what we like. Always visit the Facebook page, WGH Talk, Marion, Ohio, to see what's going on news-wise. We post on that all day long. And, of course, check the news report and listen to this show every morning, 8:15 until 10 a.m. We are here. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Who knows what will happen between now and tomorrow. Have a great day. Scott Spears heading for the dugout. From Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but
I can tell.
I wasn't even sure how to word it.
When the way your arms got going,